Doctor.
It's Clobberton.
Engage.
Shazam!
Welcome, everybody. Inmates, new listeners. This is Heroes Asylum. My name is Captain Mike. Welcome to issue 52 of the Heroes Asylum. We are just chugging along. Normally, a 52 would be the year mark for us, but yeah, we're a little different than that. But we are here once again for, like I said, our 52nd issue. I am here, like always, with my trusty companion, Kane. How you doing, brother?
Captain Mike, sir, how you doing?
Oh, 52,
which is the new 52, which came out several years ago, which depends who you talk to, either ruined DC or, you know, either masterfully continued its continuity alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, unlike the Superman of that time, I'm wearing my underwear on the outside of my pants today, so I had to do something different.
Very nice. Actually, I thought when he put the underwear off and he had like that long blue suit when they did Man of Steel, I thought that was one of the better things they did, but I can see how people still like the underwear on the outside. It's very iconic.
Still gives it that strong man look. I mean, that was the whole look of him. That's the reason why that became a big thing in the comic books, was underwear on the outside. It gives you that strong man look from the 1920s and 30s.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, we all get, you know, swing one way, and I'm swinging with the underwear on the outside. Anti-commando. Let's go with that. Thank God we're not on video yet.
That's Captain Mike at Facebook.
Yeah, fine. Look it up.
Look it up.
So I understand you did post something today, or no, this week. I'm sorry, not today. A passing that I figured I'd let you go ahead and address and talk about.
Thank you, Captain. I just want to say that this peak we lost probably one of the better wrestlers around, and that is La Parca, the chairman. If you watched WCW in the late 90s. He was a luchador. He passed away at 56 from injuries that were done, I believe it was in Mexico City, a week and a half ago. He did a suicide dive. Didn't quite land the right way. He was in an infirmary for a while. People thought he was going to make it, and unfortunately, he passed away. I have a lot of memories of Bob Parker, especially when I was going to college, seeing WCW Nitro, seeing him do that little weird dance with the chair. I mean, he wasn't like a big mainstay guy, but he was entertaining, and just sucks to lose somebody like that. He's very young, 56 years old. You know, he still had a lot of life left in him. Hopefully, when I get to 56, I'll have a lot of life left in me and you as well. But just tragic the way he left. And I guess the way you can say it, he went out the way that he would want to as a wrestler, doing what he loves, performing. But, you know, still all the same, losing somebody like that at that age, the way he did, it's just, you know, very heartbreaking.
Yeah, it definitely is. I'm the same as you. I remember seeing him. I think one of my fondest memories is when WCW did bring in like the Lucha crowd, and you know that group with Mysterio coming in, Parka, Ultimo Dragon, I mean just that whole group. And of course that's where, you know, we got introduced to, you know, Chris Jericho and Benoit and Malenko. Those were the and Eddie Guerrero. You know, those were the light heavy, or what were they, the light champions, or the cruiserweights. Yeah, the WWE had the light heavyweight champs. They were cruiserweights. So yeah, I do remember those, it's a sad moment in the wrestling community to lose him, because he was such a big part of that community. So
big personality as well. You know, even though people say that, well, he's under a mask, he's a luchador, he can't emote, but he did a lot of emoting. You know, as far as it's hard to do it in a mask, but he's one of the few guys that could do, especially that weird dance. I remember like many a nights when I used to go to the Winchester back in the days, but back in my younger days, when I used to try to do that dance after a couple fireball shots, never could quite do it. But, you know, losing a guy like La Parca is never easy. And we want to send out our thoughts and prayers to the family of La Parca from the Heroes Asylum. Tough loss, and our thoughts and prayers are always with you.
Yeah, definitely. To kind of coincide with that, we are actually going to do a Royal Rumble episode next week with a special guest, not one of our normal guests. Somebody that you know, knows a little bit about the business. So we're going to be his fans. This gentleman's a fan as well. But you know, we'll definitely going to basically kind of do a quick rundown of the Royal Rumble. What's up as far as the card goes, our opinions, what we think's going to be happening, and we're going to go from there. We try to do these once a couple times a year. Definitely Royal Rumble's a big one. WrestleMania, we definitely are going to do a special show on. And we try to do one in the middle, you know, for the summer, you know, summer and fall area. We kind of missed out last year on the fall one, but you know, we definitely want to. We are wrestling fans, and so it is part of the asylum.
Yes, definitely part of the family. And Mr. Grant Gimmick will be here next Sunday, and that is his real name, by the way. It's not a joke. His name is Grant Gimmick. I know people will have a hard time believing it, but yes, Mr. Gimmick will be with us next Sunday. He'll be breaking down the card for the Royal Rumble and give us his thoughts in general on the wrestling industry today as it is. And trust me, I talked to him today. He is very fired up about it.
Very good. I can't wait. Looking to, I always like when we're able to break out of our day to day, you know, mold when it comes to wrestling. And talk more of that. We do talk a lot about the comic books, movies, and TV shows because that is really what's in the culture right now. That's in the pop lexicon of everything. You know, you can't turn around without seeing something new, some news dropping. Wrestling's kind. I mean, right now wrestling isn't a big resurgence, but it's still not like what it was, in the Attitude Era. And I'm sure some of the younger people out there are thinking, everybody that grew up with the Attitude Era thinks that was the best time. But we all think our time was the best time. And I'm still a big fan of that. I just don't think anybody stood out like they did in the Attitude Era. And I think that's what we're missing.
Big time. You have a couple stars here and there. I mean, I think Becky. You know, she transcends the women's division now. Even at his older age, Jericho still has it. Brock is Brock, but you're right. There's no Rock. There's no Austin. Taker's basically part-time, and we don't have those. The big thing about wrestling stars that was great about it was they transcended wrestling into other areas of pop culture. You know, you look at The Rock, he was probably like the last big one that actually did it, and he's done it very well. He's transitioned. Like John Cena's trying to do that. You know, God forbid he does a Marine 2 or 3 anymore, please.
No, that's The Miz. The Miz has taken over the
Oh, Marine. Is it The Miz?
Yeah, that's
oh,
The Miz. Ooh. It does the Marine movie, so. Yeah. So you got The Miz to thank for that one. So what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and just break it down like we do. Like I said, we're trying some things different. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the news, but we're going to delve into a little bit more. And then later on in the show, we are going to have our Legends of the Long Box segment where we talk about recent polls. So definitely got a little bit of a show to go on. What do you got first for – actually, let me plug in the music. We went all this way and made a song for it. Might as well use it.
News from Eat Mission Ward.
All right, so Missions Ward is where we have our news segment where we talk about news that have dropped throughout the week and just our opinions about it, even some rumors. I try to stay away from some rumors, but I think rumors are fun to play with now, taking a new outlook in life this year. And so I think I'm going to play in the dark side a little bit more in the rumor area. So, but what do you have? I'll let you go ahead and start off.
Oh, I appreciate that, sir. And as long as the rumors are not from We Got This Covered, I think I've learned my lesson. Please never, ever share anything when We Got This Covered. I, as a fan, used to, and it didn't work out very well. I'll just put it that way. But first news part of the week is we got our first look at Morbius. Jared Leto playing Morbius. I guess we're going to get the trailer tomorrow. Little image that we saw. It was peeked out on Jared Leto's Instagram page and, Sony's page. And we got our first look at him. And it depends who you talk to. I think it looks spot on like the comics. Other people are like, oh, but he's too dark looking. I'm like, that's what he's supposed to be. He's a vampire, guys. I mean, what else did you want him to look like?
Well, I think the picture was just dark in general. I don't think that's how he's going to look when lights are on. I mean, it's...
I would hope not.
I mean, that's what I gathered. I know what they mean when I saw it, too. I was like, oh, it's a dark picture, but I think it's just a dark fucking picture,
Exactly, and we have no context to that picture. It's like one of those things when they drop a picture, like we don't know what's going on in that picture. What's going on? Like, what's he doing? What's Morbius? I guess the ultimate thing. What's Morbius' motivation going forward? Like, we should be all like theatrical, but it's a good first picture. I mean, I think they compared it to like one of the Morbius comics side by side. It's spot on. And I think it's one of the things nowadays that I love about comic book movies instead of the past where people were afraid, like, oh, it can't look like the comics. It looks too stupid and kiddie. But nowadays, as the comic book evolution has begun, basically we're in it right now. Now we're just getting like the spot on looks. It's like, oh, okay, he looks like that's Morbius right there. And I think they're embracing that comic book side, which I'm finally at my advanced age we're seeing. And I'm glad that I'm not in the grave when we see this going forward. But it's a cool look. We get the trailer tomorrow. We'll see more about it. But first look, not bad. Not bad at all.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised. I figured they were going to pretty much nail him because he is that over the top look. And if you're going to do it, just go full on with Morbius. And yeah, I liked it. I can't wait to see. I did think I read something where they were having J. Jonah might be playing in that world too. So there might be a connection with, you know, adding that connection, because I know they were talking about starting to have Spider-Man and his other properties play together.
I don't know about that. Yeah. I'll kind of leave it separate. Like, if you want to keep it, you know, just do it separate for now. Don't get all weird and connect everything now. Like, that's what ruined DC for the longest time. They tried, like, so they rushed to connect it. Let it be a standalone, and then if you want to, like, connect it later on, that's fine. But please don't do that now. Just let it breathe. In the immortal words of Matt Pinfield, when he was talking about Van Halen 3, that album that got released, and if you ever saw the interview when he's talking to the guys of Van Halen in the studio, he's like, this is a great album, Van Halen 3. I like how it breathes. And that album is garbage if you're a Van Halen fan. So,
well, the only thing I read was that they were talking that J.K. Simmons would be in there. And that was like the only connection, which to me, that's fine. That's showing a thread, just like itty bitty thread of, hey, this is still in the same universe. We're not connecting anything else. So, and
well, if it's JK, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah, that's what I read. I wish I could find. I was just trying to find the article that. But yeah, they were saying that there's, you know, the rumor again. This is a rumor one, folks, that he would possibly be in there. And I was like, okay, I can go with that. I'm okay with that little thread. I don't want, like you said, yeah, we don't want to go the route of the Justice League just yet. No. We don't want to throw them too hard. But the simple fact that one actor and that one character is involved here and over here means they at least they exist in the same world. They don't have to run into each other just yet. I mean, at least Morbius, you know, he's a vampire. He's in the background. So he's not out in the open like Spider-Man is. So I don't think their worlds should collide.
He's an unusual vampire as well. Like, he doesn't necessarily like drink blood. He sucks plasma. So it's like a whole different vibe. But if JK is going to be in there, I think it'll just be like one scene. You'll see him like in the newspaper. Hey, you know, who's killing these people, sucking them dry? And like, yeah, just like a small little quick scene.
Yeah, just
kind of like they had in like the like Spider-Man movie, but you know, exactly, just quick and that's it. So, what do you got for us, Captain?
The trailer for the latest trailer for New Mutants dropped, and I was stoked. I mean, I really liked what I saw. I was a big fan beforehand, but not only did that drop, but Disney and MCU has officially announced that they are now part of the MCU. So that means that these guys will be somehow connected. Now, we've heard that before. We've heard the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were connected. We heard the Defenders on Netflix. And I'm saying Defenders talking about all the shows that were on Netflix will fall under that. They were saying that those were all also connected, but they never touched. They never once touched, other than a mention of the big green angry guy or the day of, you know, some big event happening.
I think it was the incident.
I couldn't remember what they had. It's been a while since I've seen them. But those were the only tying factors. So I'm kind of holding my breath on that to see how they do that. If it's just saying, yes, it's in the same universe, but they're not going to have anything. But again, this is where you're going to have to introduce the mutant factor into it.
True, but I think they have a movie coming out, which I think is in a year and a half, and that's Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. And I think, because when I first heard this news, I was just like you. I'm like, what? How are they connected? Like, this is a Fox movie that was made like basically 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Very frightening. But then I thought about Doctor Strange and The Multiverse of Madness, and I'm like, you know what? This could work if they tangentially connected that way. You know, you don't have to make a big hint, but you could subtly do it. Like, you can do it. Like, knowing Feige and the team, they got a plan for this. They would not release this movie if they didn't have a plan.
Right.
They knew down the road it was going to be connected some way or form. And from what I saw in the trailer, by the way, I loved it. It's the Marvel movie, like the horror Marvel movie I wanted for the longest time. I think I saw a shot of the Demon Bear in there, which is like, oh my God. Yeah. I think I freaked out. Like, that's a Demon Bear? Like, how wonderful in a world that we live in nowadays. We're seeing a Marvel movie with the New Mutants, with the Demon Bear in it. I think that is dope as hell. And the trailer is everything that I wanted. I mean, the trailer is almost 3 years old, but hey, you know what? It's going to come out this year. I think it's, what, April 16th, I believe it's coming out, the release date?
I believe so, yeah. I believe it was April. I don't know the exact date. I didn't have.
But it's fine. They're going to find a way to connect it, Well, there's 10. I mean, look at the end of the movie, you do a post-credit scene. There you go. That's how you connect it. Well, yeah, and you can connect to Doctor Strange. I mean, because I think going forward, I don't think we ever talked about this. I think going forward, like, you know how you have that connective tissue from the old MCU with Iron Man. He's like the guy, you know, the Infinity Saga. I think Doctor Strange is going to be the new Iron Man of this new MCU going forward. I think he's going to be the guy that's going to connect all the movies, and whatever's going to happen, like that big event, is going to be involving Doctor Strange. And I think if they do it that way, this is a conjecture, by the way, I think it's a smart idea. Because he's basically the new Tony Stark. He's arrogant like Tony Stark, but he's all about the mystic arts. And I hope they do it that way. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, speaking of Doctor Strange, you did see the news of them losing their director. Scott Derrickson. He stepped away. Now, my understanding is he is still part of Doctor Strange as an executive producer. So it's not that he's completely taking a step away and said, yeah, screw you guys, I'm out of here, pulled a Cartman or anything. But, you know, he's still part of it. And my understanding, the rumor that was going around from my understanding about it was that there was just some creative differences about they wanted to go more of a nightmarish route in it. And they really, Feige pushed back and says, you know, the original, they wanted the Scarlet, you know, they wanted Scarlet Witch in there. And Derrickson was trying to push back and go with a different villain on here. Nightmare, I believe, was the villain that he wanted. But I think with what they're doing, because Scarlet Witch is predominantly a mutant, she's tied in with the X-Men. And I think that maybe what Kevin's fighting for is to have her do the interconnection to where we might have, you know, the House of M happen.
You know what, Mike? This is why we opened this asylum, because you and I, we disagree on many things, but 90% of the time we're on the same wavelength. And I thought exactly the same thing, the House of M thing. I'm like, he doesn't want Nightmare. Okay, get it. But then you put Scarlet Witch in there, like, oh, it's going to be House of M. What if she's fighting Scarlet Witch throughout this movie? What if she, like, stops or creates all the mutants?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Like, that can be, that's a dope idea. Like at first I was like, oh, it sucks to lose him. Like, I thought about Robert Eggers, the guy who did The Witch, by the way. If you never watched The Witch, watch. It's really, really good. And I thought, okay, he could direct that movie. But then when they were like, well, we want Scarlet Witch to be more heavily involved, and the first thing I thought of was House of M. I'm like, I don't think they're going to do it that way. I think they'll hint at it.
Yeah,
they'll be somebody else, but I think it's on Feige's mind.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, like, again, like we've always talked about Feige. He's got a toy box, and he can pick and choose what toy he wants to pull out and play with. And I think, you know, the fact of him pulling out the Scarlet Witch and making her part of the Avengers was a big step, because, again, like, you know, her and Quicksilver were both mutants, you know, the direct, you know, children of Magneto, the biggest villain of all the X-Men. And to pluck those two out and put them dab, you know, in the middle of the Avengers storyline and not introduce or explain the mutants, it just kind of like threw me off. And now I think they're trying to backpedal to fix it, but I think that's the best way of doing it is with a House of M. We do understand WandaVision is supposed to kind of bleed into that. But it's funny, the one article I was reading, it came from, I think it was Comic Book News, that they were talking about the diversity kills Doctor Strange. And I'm like, I don't think that's a diversity issue. I think that's a smart writing issue. It's not that they had to have a woman be a main character, being, you know, aka Scarlet Witch, you know, Olsen. I think it was more, it was a smarter move in the storyline. And I think whoever wrote this is a little off when they talk about
a little office knocker.
Yeah, it's like, it's not guys, just because they you know, promote a female lead and push for a female to be in a story other than the Nightmare character they wanted to use, it's not about, you know, the feminist movement, it's not about the Me Too movement, it's simply that's a better story to explain how mutants or, you know, to explain what's happening, especially if they're dumping into the multiverse. I mean, she this woman stood against Thanos. So, you know, to me, I think...
And kicked his ass, yeah, too, by the way. If you've watched the movie, she beat the hell out of him. Yeah. Like, Thanos needed help.
You know, and I think it's like everybody was talking, I think that was another part of this was also the changing of the most powerful person in the Marvel, you know, the MCU was, you know, they're changing it from, you know, Captain Marvel to Scarlet Witch, which I... they don't think they really had to say it. I don't know why they had to say it, because it's already apparent if you watched any of the movies, she is more powerful. You know,
they should have let that. They should have let that happen organically. Like, why do you come out and say like, yeah, "Oh, she's the most powerful"? Like, yeah, like we know, we've seen the movie. She is powerful. She's a badass. But
yeah, that one, just that one scene. That one scene with her and Thanos. He's like, "I don't know who you are, and you will." And I was like,
oh. "You will." That was a. I'll tell you what. When I saw that movie theater with you and everybody else, I was like, "Mic drop." I was like, oh, yeah. "Done." Done.
I actually got goosebumps on that one when she said that. I'm like, oh, you screwed up.
And then her eyes lit red and she's levitating Thanos and everybody. Like, you know, I was like, oh, you know what? Yeah, going forward, they're going to use the Scarlet Witch a lot more.
Yeah, so. which is fine with me. I'm a big fan of Olsen. I think what she's done to that character and how she portrays that character is great. And to send her off the deep end, especially after losing Vision, and everything that happened with them and during the snap, I think that's important, and I think there needs to be that loose gun that is so dangerous, and not be a villain with a purpose. You know, Thanos is a villain with a purpose. He had a purpose for it. She's a villain that's angry, and sometimes you can't rationalize with a person like that.
And it makes sense, too. I mean, they built this character up in a way like she's suffering from loss. I mean, if you go through loss, you're going to be angry and, you know, pissed off as well. And you've got the powers that she does. It makes all the sense in the world. If they do it right, you have to write it correctly. That's the thing. You have to, because you have the WandaVision series, which is actually coming out this year, which is kind of crazy. And then you're going to tie that into Doctor Strange. If you do it well, it's going to make a lot of sense. It's going to make Scarlet Witch more of a badass. And you don't have to keep having these little posts on Twitter like the Me Too movement, oh, blah, 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 that I'm so sick of hearing. Like, look, we're all equals. If a chick is leading a movie, I'm still going to watch it. If other kind of person I won't mention right now, but that leads a movie, I'm still going to watch it. Transgender could lead a movie, I'm going to watch. It doesn't matter either or. A person's a person. Movie's a movie. Story's a story. Keep moving forward. And like I said, if they do it good, It's gonna be really cool. And knowing those guys, like we said before, Feige and the guys, they're gonna make it good.
Yeah, I think that's always been your opinion and my opinion as well. Was it's about the story. Give a good story. I don't care who's doing what. You know, I think my biggest fight, you know, with the two movies that I know I've been very opinionative about. And a lot of people will turn around and say, "Oh, you just hate women," or you don't. It was the female Ghostbusters one and the Captain Marvel one. I just didn't feel the stories were needed, and they were poor written stories. That's the only.
And you crap on Legacy. Yeah, it's like what the one thing you crap on Legacy. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh no, you're fine. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just want, like, if you crap on, like, Legacy should be embraced. Like, the Ghostbusters trailer, like, as it was, what's it called? Ghostbusters Forever? I forgot. Oh, the new anyway. One? Yeah.
Afterlife.
The one thing I like about that, you don't have to have the originals in there. That's fine. You have cameos. That's cool. Like in the Ghostbusters with the females, you could have had cameos. That's fine. But you have to embrace Legacy. Embrace Legacy. Like, remember the past. Like, oh, you know what? These guys, before I did it, they were there. And you, like, look at it. Like, you could even have a Ghostbusters movie. I don't know what they're going to do. I'm just giving you an example. Let's just say, like, Finn Wolfhard, who's basically in every 80s remake movie of all time right now. He walks by his grandfather's house, and he sees, like, a picture of Egon there. He's like, oh, that's my grandfather. What did he do? And then mom comes along, like, your grandfather was a hero to many people, especially in New York City. You could have, like, a line like that. And, dude, I'm going to be tearing up in the theater. You have to remember and embrace Legacy. Don't crap on Legacy for what it was because of your movement. Embrace it. And, you know, that's going to make you even more loved. So, sorry. End of rant.
That's all right. But, yeah, no, that's what, you know, for those, that's what I think would definitely be a good one for the to use Scarlet Witch on. I think she's a strong character. I think what story they choose to go with, I think it's going to be a smart one, especially that they're still trying to figure out what to do with this property, you know, with the mutant property and how to introduce them. And I think she's the perfect one. And it sounds like Feige, you know, has a plan. He always has a plan. So we'll trust him. Like you always say,
trust in Feige, our Lord and Savior.
So what do you have next?
Oh boy. The new, Harley Quinn and the, Birds of Prey Emancipation Harley Quinn trailer came out this week. And I'm going to take a pause for a second. I hated this trailer again. There was only one good thing I dug was actually the black mask, putting on the black mask.
That was the one part I didn't like.
That was the only thing I loved, but one, and Harley actually talking with the hyena that she always has is from the animated series. But once again, Mike, this is all about Harley Quinn. And I get it. It's her movie and she's popular, cool. But that's not my Huntress. That's not my Renee Montoya. That is, who else do they have in that movie? That's not my Black Canary. I know they're using the Black Canary for the New 52 where she's like a rock singer. Cool. Not my Black Canary. This is more of a Harley Quinn love fest, and I get it. She's popular right now, comics. She's got the series out. By the way, I love the animated series. If you guys have not watched it, ooh, boy. don't let your little kids watch it. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Do not let your little kids watch it. It is not new.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of girls, little girls are like idolizing, you know, just the look and her attitude. Don't let your kids watch this. Don't let your little girl watch it. This is a rough show.
Ooh, it's even more worse than you think.
I was very surprised when I went to go watch it on DC streaming that there wasn't like, could you put in your age or something along those lines?
Yeah. And I got to be honest, like we're on that animated series tip. The best character in that series besides Harley and Ivy, to me, it's been Clayface. I am shocked how they made Clayface such a lovable character. Like, you know, he's the actor and all that. But I love him, dude. He is so good in this series. Like, he's always very theatrical and flamboyant. Hey, what is my character going to be this time? I'm going to be a security guard who's been divorced with two kids. Like, it's to me, it's so not Clayface that I like it. And yeah. You know me very well, sir, that I like the out of the box thinking. And whoever thought about that Clayface is a genius to me.
I'm a fan of Fred. Sorry, Fred the Plant.
Oh, Fred the Plant.
Oh,
even the landlord is kind of funny too.
And by the way, it's Bud and Lou were the names of her hyenas.
Is it Bud and Lou?
Named after Abbott and Costello.
I didn't dig the trailer too much. I think again. Sorry for cutting you off, sir.
You're good. Go ahead.
But I'm going to hate watch this movie. Like, I really am on it. Like, we've talked about this term. We're going to introduce this term this year in the Heroes Asylum. It's called hate watch. And I'm not looking forward to this one. I'm really not. I'm like, Ewan McGregor, I hope he does a great job as Black Mask. Sadly, it doesn't look like he's going to be the Black Mask that I want. But it's okay. I'm still going to hate watch it. Hopefully, it's fun and entertaining. If I walk out of the theater saying, hey, you know, it was fun. I was entertained for, you know, an hour and 30 minutes or 2 hours, then we're good. But, you know, everything I see in this movie, Mike, I just don't like it.
Well, it's not being sold to you. Sorry, that's the one thing I talked about a couple of weeks ago. You are not the target market for this movie. Ewan McGregor even said it at the beginning about 3-4 months ago. This is a feminist movie. He says he joined the movie because it's a heavy feminist movie. So it's not being made for you. It's not being made for me. It's not being made for us men, which is fine. I'm okay with that. And I'm going in open-minded, at least in that aspect, that I know they're not pulling a wool over my eyes. They're flat out telling me in the trailer what this movie is geared for. The whole scene of her being upset, you know, chugging down string cheese. It just, you know, those are girl moments, and that's what it's telling you, and that's fine with me, because that's what they need. They just, you know, they need to concentrate on that and stay with that, because the girls don't really have a real big hero. Yes, we had Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel was there pretty much just to have like a spot for the end game to come up. Wonder Woman's out there, but again, us guys all grew up with Wonder Woman. I think Harley Quinn is the essential, you know, badass really when it comes to the DC world and a strong female character. And that's just it's one of the things I feel on them, that they just need to stick to, you know, do what they're doing. I'm going to watch. I'm not going to hate watch or grudge watch, like you said, but I'm going to definitely watch. I want to see what they come up with for her. But I do agree with you about, you know, the costume. Yeah, the costumes I'm a little not into. But again, we didn't see enough of them for me to get over to opinion. I don't know if what we're seeing is them at the end of the movie, at the beginning of the movie. But the one character I did kind of like that they showed a lot more in this one was Renee Montoya. I thought that what we saw of her was completely Renee.
Rosie Perez, man. Yeah. Come on. White man can't jump. I mean, perfect. She is Renee Montoya. Come on.
Yeah, pretty much. And I was okay with her. So that's why what I've seen so far, it's Harley. It's Renee. The other ones, I think they're playing around with them because they are lesser known characters. It really, when it comes into the DC.
You think Black Canary is a lesser known character?
Yes. Yeah. When you look at the lexicon of comic books in that way, other than being in Arrow, that's the only reason I think that she's got such a big name.
Well, I thought her relationship with Green Arrow alone would just basically boost her up there. I'm like, they have a lot of series, and like, you know, talked about the Emerald Archer and what's the other one? The other series where Green Arrow moved into Seattle and she was there with him. I thought she would be basically by association alone, be, you know, associated as like, you know, not a high level character, but like at least like in that middle tier.
I put her on a B level, because I even put Green Arrow on a B level. I hate to say it.
No, you're right. Yeah, I agree.
Really look at the Arrow series. They didn't use a lot of Arrow's stories. They used, you know, we've had this talk before. They use Batman stories. So because Arrow should have a mountain of great source material, but I don't think enough to make a good show. And that's why they delved into the Batman lore.
I would agree with you, sir. So what do you got next, Nurse Captain?
Well, actually, a little side talk here. There's rumors going around with a certain Mr. Wheaton that, you know, with the restart of one of his shows that they're like just getting ready to start production on doing Buffy. There's been some rumblings about a Firefly restart.
Ooh, that's more close to your heart, sir.
Oh, it is. But it's not so much the news about it, which my personal opinion about them doing this, I don't think they should. I think it's been too far removed. Those characters, I think, would be in different places by now. A reimagining, I would be okay with, to a certain degree. But my question is, what do you see that could come back for, you know, a reimagining or a redoing? We've had, you know, Battlestar Galactica that came back successfully. We've actually had, goodness, I'm trying to think of a couple of shows that we had. They did come back, and they seem to be doing pretty good. I think, like, Will and Grace came back. But we've had shows that have come back. What show do you think, like, for you, would you want to see come back?
I got two. And if you remember these shows, I'd be shocked, but I wouldn't be because we're basically the same age. The first one is Street Hawk. If you remember Street Hawk, Street Hawk was like the ripoff version of Knight Rider, but it was a motorcycle.
Yes.
And the guy was a cop. He got hurt. He got injured. He got healed. But like this dude who was like building this like super tech bike. And you could make it in a way so grounded, like it's militarized. That is one. The other one is Auto Man. Do you remember Auto Man?
Yes, I do remember.
Okay, that's why you're laughing. You're chuckling a little bit. Remember Cursor? He's a little friend. He's like a little. He's literally like a little cursor on the screen.
Yeah.
You could do a version of Auto Man as well, and you can make it, you know, many different ways. You can make it silly, you can make it grounded, or you can make it dark. There's a lot of
you'd have to make it silly just because of the suit.
I know. The suit just hunk golden.
Yeah, that's
those are two that I thought of off the top of my head. Or also, if you want to do Riptide with the helicopter with the smiley face, I mean, you can do that too.
Maybe. I would be interested to see some like returns. Like I said, with Whedon, I think, or with Firefly, Serenity, I think they made it as their swan song. You know, you guys have had to have seen Serenity by now. If not, I'm sorry. But Wash is killed off. The Preacher is killed off. And you're left with, not, I don't want to say a skeleton crew, but a kind of a broken crew in a way. And I just don't know if that is a good, you know, want to do if,
and you want to leave them that way.
I want to,
by
yeah.
the way. Yeah, I want, exactly. I don't mean to cut you off, but I think if you basically want to leave them exactly where they are, this has happened to them. They're going to move on, and you want to leave everything to the subject of your mind. Like, okay, what are they doing now? You know, all their people and like all their basic guys are dead. They have to try to find a way to fight out. I don't want to see what's going to happen after that. Like, do I want to see, you know, the captain on the planet, like, just, like, becoming a farmer? I'm like, no, that's just, I don't care. He doesn't attract me that way. It's just like, can you imagine Nathan Fillion? Exactly. I know what I'm describing. That's why you're laughing. Can you imagine him as a farmer, like, hey, yeah, you know what? I gave up all this stuff just to be a farmer. Like, why?
Yeah.
That takes away from what he was. It's just like, I think their heart isn't in the right place. You want to bring something back that people loved. But, you know, if you never watched it, it's like Buffy. And I think Buffy coming back is another tragedy. Yes, you want to change the race and ethnicity. That's up to you. It's great. But to me, Buffy is over. It ended. It had an ending. The Hellmouth, you know, whatever. The first evil. That was the last. It was done. It's like Supernatural. It's going to end in 60 days. The last filming. It's going to end. There's not going to be a movie. There better not be a reboot. There better not be a reboot. Oh, my God. I'll freak out if there's a reboot.
Oh, which one?
Supernatural, if they were decided to reboot. Oh, I'm just thinking, like, it's going to end this season. And I'm thinking, like, oh, you know what? Supernatural was successful for 15 seasons. Let's reboot it. Like, please, no. Don't go there. Just let it die. Let it die. Let us die with the memory that we have of it. Let's go smiling like when we saw Serenity. Okay, you know what? It was a shitty way to end. But it ended. Let it die. Let it die. Please don't bring these shows back. I don't want them reimagining. Think of new ideas. What do we always talk about, Mike? New ideas. You know, fresh. Oh, let's do that. Let's do that. People are so lazy. They want to like bring back old stuff. I have never liked that.
Oh, I'm looking at the list of possible ones being worked on right now.
Oh boy.
Alf is being looked at right now.
By Chris Nolan, by the way.
You have Frasier is being talked about.
I knew about that one. That's fine.
Let's see. Well, we knew about the Clone Wars coming out. That one was a given.
That's not really a remake. That's more of a continuation. So.
That's just a continuation. It's only been, 4 years, I think?
Yeah, about 4 or 5. No, 4? Is it 4? No, you're right. It's 4. I'm sorry. Keep going.
I'm trying to see here. But yeah, there's a few that they're talking about redoing. Northern Exposure. There's talk in that one.
Okay.
I was never a Northern Exposure person.
Neither was I. Sorry.
My mom's one.
That was my mom's also. I was more of a Twin Peaks guy.
Well, what about Dune? I mean, the Dune is coming out on HBO.
Dune is different. Dune is different. Dune is very different. That's, if done well, honestly, that's new Star Wars. If done well. I preface that. If done well, that is new Star Wars.
Keep talking, going. Talking spring 2020. HBO Max is officially launching, and they're talking of doing an animated prequel to Gremlins.
Why?
I'm saying, so that's why. I mean, they're out there. They're still kicking it around.
Mike, do you remember the thing that we love the most is that mystery element? Remember the beginning of Gremlins where, like, the old guy walks into the place where he buys the Mogwai, and the guy's like, hey, whatever you do, there's just these three rules. You don't know what the Mogwai is. But he's going to sell it because he's desperate for cash, or the kids sell it to him. I don't want to see a prequel because you know what happens? You dilute him. Kind of like the prequels, like basically, and no offense to our female audience, they pussied out Anakin Skywalker. They pussied him out so bad in the prequels. Like before that, Darth Vader was like, oh my God, he's like this menacing badass. And the prequels, you find out, oh, he's just emo teenage guy who's afraid that he's going to lose the love of his life. Like, what? Like, boo, like Rogue One actually kind of built him back up again, like as a badass. But I don't want to see a prequel. I don't want to see the beginning of the Mogwai. I don't care. Leave the mystery to us. Let us think about, oh, where did the Mogwai come from? You don't know. Some Japanese place, some like in a Shaolin temple. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I agree with you. That was, you know, one of the things. But yeah, that's just some of the ones that are out there kicking around because I know Hollywood's on this kick. So I've thought of, you know, well, instead of fighting it and being so angry about it, I thought of bracing it a little bit more and seeing it. But again, it's if they did go with this Firefly reboot, I just don't know if the original cast would be the best thing. Nothing about their age. I just think that their characters would be in different places by now. And just a lot of time has changed. Maybe if they did have, you know, where maybe, you know, Mal has passed away, got killed with something, and now, what's her name? Summer.
Summer Glau.
Yeah, now she's like leading it or something. You know, maybe something along that line. I think I would go with.
That would be weird, though, for her leading it, though, because she was never, like, the lead type character, in my opinion. Like, she was always better as, like, a secondary character. You know, Nathan Fillion can basically, he can lead a room. He can basically lead ice to an Eskimo. It's going to be harder, but you need somebody like that personality type. And from, if you take him out, put somebody new in, you have to have not that similar personality, but somebody like, hey, that can lead a room. And I don't see Summer Glau leading a room.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought she did a pretty good job for Terminator. I thought she did a pretty decent job.
Oh, she was great in Terminator, but she wasn't the lead character. She's basically secondary. She was like one of the Terminators that came back in time. And I thought, I was like, wow, that, like, Lena Headey, like, before freaking Game of Thrones, she was great as Sarah Connor. That's an underrated series, by the way. If you guys have never watched the Sarah Connor Chronicles, I think it ran for like 2 or 3 seasons. I'm not sure. Really good show. That's what the Terminator movie should have been based on. That, but you know, Hollywood.
Oh, so. But yeah, that's the last I have on. You have anything more?
Got one more, and this is for the gamers out there. Basically, Montreal Games introduced a teaser for the new Arkham Legacy game, which basically wasn't a teaser trailer. It was basically like a symbol, looked like a bat with an owl shaped in it. And no release date, no trailer. Basically, Montreal Games has been doing this to us for 6 months now. And I'm kind of getting angry at it right now because I'm like, dude, just release a trailer already because I'm getting pissed. Stop being all like weird, like, hey, it's coming. It's coming. Release the trailer already. You basically have just said what's going to happen. It's going to be a multiplayer game. You can play as Nightwing. You can play as Robin. Okay, cool. Oh, the Batmobile is going to be playable. Okay, cool. What else? Owlman is going to be in the game. Okay, cool. The Court of Owls. Okay, you know what? Release a trailer. Stop teasing us. Enough. It's been 6 months. I've heard about this trailer coming out in August. Didn't come out in August. The trailer's going to come out in October. Didn't come out in October. The trailer's going to come out December 19th. Did not come out December 19th. We're now in 2020. Obviously, the game is done. It's going to be released by the summer or fall. Release a trailer. Release a little. It could be a little hint teaser trailer. It could be like a little bat symbol, like electrocuted or something weird. I don't care. Release something. Stop teasing us. It's over. It's over. Just release it already. That's what I'm getting mad at. Like, I've heard these things for almost 6 months now. If you got these, like, it's like a tease, like 6 months. Oh, come on. It's going to happen. But it hasn't happened yet. What's going on? Why are you taking so long? Obviously, it's done. If you're Montreal Games, you've been teasing this for the longest time. Enough.
Well, is there anything new coming out? Any new consoles coming out?
PS5. When? It's going to come out, I believe PS5 is going to come out in October.
They may be tagging in with that.
It's going to be the attachment. Yeah. I thought about
that. If you're going to drop something big like a new Batman movie or Batman video game, and I am in a gamer to a point. I don't spend a lot of time, but I'm very familiar with them. I do like to get into them. But yeah, if you're going to be dropping something as big as any sort of Batman Arkham thing, which, I mean, that alone, that property in video game world is huge. I mean, to the point where, you know, they used that Batman as an influence on the Batman from the DC universe with, you know, Ben Affleck.
Yeah, so I mean, Batman v Superman, that's huge, the warehouse scene alone.
That whole scene, that warehouse scene alone was just nuts. But that's, yeah, I would see them not wanting to drop it and then have a brand new console coming out like months later. So they may be, that may be what they're doing. And don't we have a convention coming up soon? For them,
comic,
not comics. No, the video game. Isn't, don't they do 2 a year?
E3.
When is that? When is E3?
E3 is. I think it's before Comic Con. I think it's in June or May.
So maybe that's two. What. That may be also where they're saving that. To you said
G3? I didn't think about that. You're probably exactly right. You know, because in the midst of my anger, excuse me. I sometimes don't think about that, but I think you're exactly on point. They will release it with a new console release, and they're like, hey, PS5 coming out and Batman Legacy. And go buy it, because that's basically how I bought my PS4 when Arkham Knight came out.
Yeah.
Like, so they're going to, yeah, all right. You know. Score one for Captain Mike.
Sorry to throw throw logic into it.
Yeah, as always, Captain Mike always throws that damn
June 9th. Logic, yeah, June 9th is when that is out.
So, yeah. So, hopefully a trailer soon, but I'm not going to hold my breath. But that's going to come soon. Hopefully you'll buy it because you need to get on board with that. So.
I'm still rocking on my PS3, man.
I got a PS3 too, man. You know, the PS5 is going to rock PS3, PS2, yeah. PS4 games too. So, hey, save up.
Well, once they release a new Assassin's Creed or a new GTA, then I'll probably jump on. I'm still in love with GTA.
Oh, yeah, 5. I know you're in love with GTA, murdering people, hey. Killer. So,
I just love GTA 5 because it takes place pretty much in LA, and
I know it, that's it what I think when I have
when I lived out
there. I have that game and I'm like thinking like there's like this scene, well, not a scene, but when you're driving around there's like this nightclub and it's like down the road from like a not a project area but like apartments area, and I kept thinking like, because I forgot the street that you lived on, and I'm thinking like, I wonder how far Captain Mike lives from this place, because you talked about living close to a comic book shop and like a music shop, like he's got to be close.
Oh no, when I lived in Hollywood, I literally, when I opened up my front door, the Man's Chinese Theater was
okay. Right, see, that's what I was thinking.
I was deep in Hollywood. Yeah, I wasn't. Yeah, I was in the tourist area.
Captain Mike is a Hollywood guy, guys.
All right,
but that's guys. All I got. So
perfect. All right, well, that is the end of the admissions ward. All right, so next one, I guess. I didn't have any reads this week. You did, so we'll go ahead and get you into the Legends of the Long Box.
Yes, Legend sir. Last week. Of the Long Box. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt okay. My intro music, yeah, but I had to. I'm kind of excited because I have three reads this week because I didn't have any last week, you know, work and stuff. I had work and stuff this week, but I managed to get three out. First one I got is Hell Risen, Issue 1 by Tyrone Epton and Filardi. I don't know their first names, so forgive me. Basically, the premise of Hellraiser 1 is the Batman Who Laughs versus Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor has been influenced by Perpetua. She is the mother of the multiverse. She is basically the mother of the Anti-Monitor and the mother. Like, basically, there's a panel in this comic book where you see Lex Luthor walking the crime syndicate to Perpetua, where she is basically, it's called the God's Head, where Perpetua is at. And you see the Monitor and the Anti-Monitor basically as bitches. I mean, just to be real, no offense to our female audience, they're bitches. They're basically bowing down before Perpetua. And you see how powerful she is, how powerful Lex is, and actually how smart the Batman Who Laughs is. So basically, this whole series that is going to be basically the Batman Who Laughs versus Lex Luthor. A very powered Lex Luthor, by the way, who's been powered by Perpetua. And so far, it's pretty good. The only thing I have an issue with, and I don't know if you had it, Mike, is the text type for the Batman Who Laughs. Very hard to read. It's in that red and black font.
Yeah, but yeah, that was one. When I was reading it, I had that.
Yeah, too. I like his lines are great, but if I have to get my iPhone out and put the light on it just to read his lines, very distracting.
Yeah,
I mean his lines are great. Like this is basically an intro. What's going to happen? It's going to be Lex versus Batman Who Laughs. And you're going to get a backstory of it. Like, you know, the crime syndicate in the background is cool. Monster and Anti-Monitor in the background being cool, basically being nothing. And you have basically Johnny Quick disintegrating by Perpetua. Yeah, disintegrating right in front of your eyes. And the ending issue is basically the Batman Who Laughs has got he's got one-upsons on Lex Luthor so far. But I believe this is going to be the start of a long arc for the rest of the year. The year the villain was last year. I think this is going to be the year of the hero this year, I believe. Not quite sure about that, but this is Hellraiser issue 1. So far, it was okay. It was all right. Good intro, and you want to keep reading it. I'm going to keep reading it, so check it out.
Yeah, now, I know Perpetua came out, goodness, I want to say it was 2018, was her, like, yes. Her first appearance. I think it was just a quick little blip of, like, hey, here she is. So that'll be interesting to see what
they always do that, especially with their DC gods pantheon. They're like the Source Wall, Anti-Monitor, and guess what? We have the mother of the multiverse. Yeah. You kind of knew that was coming. It's fine. You know, it's fine. DC's always weird with their gods.
Well, is she the multiverse or the omniverse?
No, multiverse.
Multiverse, okay, because I do know that DC has the omniverse, and she's kind of evolved with that as well, so...
Yeah, that's one of the notes I wrote. Is like basically, she is the multiverse, not the Omni multi, and they make the Batman Who Laughs pretty a badass character, which is one of the reasons I started loving Metal. I think you had your issues with Metal, but I think we can all agree the Batman Who Laughs was the one character who came out of it unscathed that we kind of dug. Like, what if Batman and the Joker were together? And that's the character, and he's got a figure out there, McFarlane line. Check it out. So, but yeah, it's issue one. Check it out. Really good intro. What's coming next?
Cool.
My next one is Metal Men 3 by Dido, Davis, Dilalek, and Wright. Basically, this issue is picks up what issue 2 left off. We had Gold, one of the Metal Men, die. Ninth Metal stops this dark creature from the dark multiverse from killing all of the Metals, all the Doctors, multiverse. And by the way, you think Gold is alive? I mean, you think Gold is dead? I think I just gave it away. Sorry about that.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Wow. Spoilers. My bad. Gold is dead, but he's actually alive. The continuity that I like with this Ninth Metal guy, he's actually pretty cool. You know, if you have ever read like the old school Metal Men stuff, they're basically based on the elements and all that stuff. Gold, silver, aluminum, blah, blah, blah. And this Ninth Metal comes out of nowhere. And if you read Dark Knight's Metal, Ninth Metal is like one of the most, actually the most powerful metal out there. Way more powerful than anything else that has been there. And without this Ninth Metal, the Dark Multiverse cannot continue on. So these elements have to fight it, keep going forward. And basically, the Ninth Metal is in a carbon copy of Dr. William, who is like the leader of the Metal Men. It's not the greatest issue in the world, but it continues on the continuity. Solid. Okay. It's fun. Not where I want it to be, but it's, you know, it's going somewhere. There's a storyline. And, definite read for me. Definite read.
Yeah, and this is only, a 12-issue series?
Yeah, it's 12-issue. It's very short. Not long. That's good,
yeah. So if nobody's ever been into the Metal Men, I they were always, we were talking earlier about, you know, Arrow and Black Canary being like the B level. The Metal Men always, you know, to me were like, you know, C and D levels. They were fun to read. Anything also like the newsboys from you know, DC, you know, they were always kind of in the background, and they would do some stuff every once in a while, but they were pretty fun group of reads.
Yeah, they're I think one of the things that you introduced me to was Batman Brave and the Bold. I think I started watching it like almost 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and you're like, you need to watch this. I was like, no, it looks stupid. You need to watch it. It looks stupid. I don't want to watch it. You need to watch it, Jeff. Please watch it. I finally started watching it, and I'm like, what the hell? I should have been watching this series sooner, because they introduced the Metal Men. They introduced Kite Man, Mothman. I mean, Kite Man is a new character, and by the way, the new Harley Quinn series, who I think is fantastic.
Yeah,
I think he's great. On that. I love Kite Man, by the way. He's never been like more of a fan than I am now. But it's good. It's really good. It's solid. It's going somewhere. And I like the wackiness and weirdness of the Metal Men. So if you guys are a big fan of the Metal Men, or if you're not, just check it out. It's pretty cool. Good intro. It's out there, but it definitely ties into that dark multiverse stuff. So that's the Metal Men issue 3. My next one is Eternals, and this is a reprint. It's issue 1 by Jack Kirby. We all know Jack Kirby, and as Captain Mike knows, I so love Jack Kirby. If Jack Kirby was my father, next to the father that I have, I would be so happy, because the Sarge is my dad. But if Jack Kirby was like my second dad, I'd be happy too. Is a reprint. You get introduced to the Deviants, the humans, and the Eternals themselves. Basically, it's a background. And I think what they're going to do with this is going to be the background for the movie. That's what I kind of thought in my head. Icarus is introduced. You know what the Deviants are. The Deviants basically are a creation of life created through the multiverse. They're like very deformed. They're powerful, but they're like, you know, these ugly looking characters, creepy likes, monsters. The third is the humans, and the last but not least are the Eternals. They're the pretty characters. They have the good looks, the blue eyes, the blonde hair, the nice coif. They're the Fabios of the universe, like I call them. But you get intro to them, and I think if they're going to do the movie this way, that when I read in this comic, I mean, it's a one-off. Literally, it's one comic and you're done, unless you go to the back issues. But you get an idea of what the Eternals is going to be, and I think after reading this, do I want to read more? Maybe, but I understand what they're going through now with the MCU, with Feige. They want to introduce newer stuff in the cosmic world. You want to introduce these gods. It's very Clash of the Titans reminiscent, like, but like to a different level, because you have three groups instead of one. Or two, I'm sorry, because you have Clash of the Titans, you have the gods and the humans. Now you have the Deviants, like these other ones. and I dug it. I really did, because I have never read Eternals in my life, and you know how much of a Kirby mark I am, Mike.
Yeah.
I like it, and I'm just fascinated to see where they're going to go.
Yeah, I mean, where they're going to go, I know the big changes that they've made, you know, to some of the characters. Still, I'm still interested to see what direction they take. I mean, anything with Kirby, if anybody's familiar with the New Gods, this is... That was Kirby's answer to the Eternals in a way. Yeah, he got his own control on it.
So you're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because the Eternals came out in 1976.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
And, yeah, because it was like not long after this, he actually jumped over to DC, and that's when a couple of years actually, but that's when he started the Kirby world and the New Gods, and that's. But yeah, if anybody wants to be if it's interested in like wanting to pick up a book and learn about the comic book history, any Kirby book, Eternals would be a great one to pick up, because the things he does to a page in the splash art he does, you've never seen movement on a page before unless you've actually seen a Kirby, art. It somehow it just moves. It is funny. I was just happened to be looking up that book that you were talking about, The Eternals number one, because this is a reprint. That thing is $15,000. Sorry, $1,500.
The original, yes, it is.
Original. The blue book, yeah. Wow, man, that's just nuts to get a, I think it was a 9.8. But yeah, that's The Eternals. I tried to get into. Again, it's one of those things. There's something about Marvel. Some Marvel books I can get into, others I can't. And like I was saying, the comparison between the Eternals and New Gods, I love the New Gods. I just couldn't get into the Eternals.
Yeah, I was the same way. I was exactly the same way. When I saw the issue and I picked it up, I was like, yeah, let me just read it, because I want to get an understanding. The movie is coming out in November. And as you have said before many times, I am a big New Gods mark. And I was like, okay, I understand what he was trying to do. He's basically trying to do the New Gods with the Eternals. Not quite to the same extent, sadly, but it's okay. Good intro. Let me see how they're going to do the movie going forward. But my God, a New Gods movie in this day and age. I know Ava DuVernay has been attached to that movie for like a couple of years now. Whether it's going to happen or not, I'm not sure. I hope it does. But please. I mean, Eternals is good. It's cool. Deviants, humans, fine. But get me a New Gods movie. That's what I want. Please.
I'd just be worried after the Eternals, New Gods are going to be the second.
Yeah, because they're basically saying, it's a ripoff. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
In all honesty, they're not wrong. I mean, really, Kirby did Eternals first, and then New Gods. So, it's the same argument everybody has, between Deadpool and Deadshot and vice versa. There's what characters came first. And when it comes into those comic book worlds, a lot of the writers and the ideas.
I thought it was Deadpool and Deathstroke.
Or Deathstroke, sorry. That's what I meant. When I say Deadshot, sorry. Yeah. But yeah, there's some very similarities to a lot of these characters, and there's always that back and forth of who did what first, and where did the idea stem from, and this is one of those ones. And I'm with you. I would love to see a New Gods movie, because I'm more of a New Gods fan. But if they did,
I've
always been no New Gods.
I didn't know that. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't mean to cut you off, Captain Mike. You have given me crap over the years for loving the New Gods, and now that I find out you're a fan?
I've been giving you crap about the movie, because I don't think it would work very well. I want to see it. I'd love to see it, but I don't think... There's things I'm fans of that I love, but I don't see them translating well into another medium, and that's one of the things I thought with the New Gods. And because the New Gods are so... That's like a holy grail when it comes to comic books, especially on the DC side, because of Kirby. That touching the New Gods is something that has to be handled very.
You're right. That is very holy ground. Very holy ground.
And again, they're doing the Eternals thing, and that marks holy ground for that as well. So we'll see how they're doing. I just know with the differences that they're the slight changes. I think there's going to be some tough changes or tough.
Yeah, but the Eternals are like more of a kind of like a smaller scale than the New Gods to me. I think New Gods has more of a name than the Eternals. Like, you know who Darkseid is. That's the main guy. You kind of know who Orion is if you watch like the animated series, like Justice League Unlimited. You know who they are. Like, I think if you watch that series, they kind of have had their intro. Like, you know tangentially who they are. I love using that word tangent.
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I do mean to cut you off here. I was so wrong. You were right. Eternals. It was New Gods, then Eternals. I completely.
There we go. See.
I knew. Okay. 1970s. So I knew it was in the 70s. New God came out, Captain but I Mike thought it was wrong, late kid. 70s. Yeah. He left Marvel, went to DC, began New Gods in the early 70s, mm-hmm. then left DC to go back to. So yeah, that's why there is a very heavy similarity.
So yeah,
my okay. bad, my faux pas.
It's okay. It's quite all right. We all make our faux pas every now and then.
Too much information rattling around.
Yeah, too much information rattling around that brain of yours. But it's quite all right, and hopefully that can happen. But Eternals 1 was solid, good intro. Check it out. It's a reprint. I think it's still out there. It's pretty cheap, but
yeah, it's tough to get those reprints. By the way, yeah, you guys got to get on them quick.
Dude. Honestly, I don't mean to cut you off, Captain Mike, but it is a one and done with those.
Yeah,
like I look for that Howard the Duck one that you actually bought. Yeah, gone.
No.
Eternals one I bought. Gone. Like it is literally release 20 issues.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah, they're
get on it.
Yeah, I picked up the like you said the Howard the Duck one. I've got the first run of Hulk, the reprint of that, the very number one for that. And there was one I was trying to get. I think it was, Poison Ivy's introduction in Batman. I saw it one day. I went back to pick it up the next day. Gone. I was like, son. And I that's when I asked them. I was like, hey, Chance? They're like, no. You're just going to have to find it.
Yep. Going to have to dig around. If you're a comic book fan, you have to always search. That's always the word. We always use search. But yep. That's it for my polls for the week.
Perfect. All right. Very good. Right now, guys, that is it. That is the show. Just going to do a quick wrap up here just to remind you guys that we do have a convention coming up, Kaiser SuperCon, coming up March 20th and 21st at the Kaiser University here in Orlando, right there at 436 and the 417. So, guys, do get out there. Check out their website is up so you guys can see who's coming out. We have bunch of cosplay guys are coming out there, so make sure you check them out. But we will be there that Friday and that Saturday to say hi, shake hands, no kissing babies. But we will
no kissing
actually,
babies.
But we
no,
actually
no.
will be doing a live shows from there, sending them out through Facebook, so you guys can kind of check on us through that as well to make sure that we are out there and where we're sitting at. So we have that coming up. And I think for pretty much that is it for events for us. But again, you always check us out on heroesasylum.com where it links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, all the other goodies, but also our midnight movie show that we are starting. We did run a little late on the new one, but that one.
That's my fault, by the way. That's my fault, Captain Mike. I'm sorry.
Hey, life happens, and that's
what I'm just going to say life happens, and I'll be real. My father had a procedure done. And I had to delay my birthday and all that stuff, but he's fine, by the way. The sword just walking around, being angry as always, cursing me out. Good times. Gotta love my dad.
But,
so
I mean,
much.
We love you guys. Yes. We love you guys, but life does step in. So sometimes we will be here. I know we've tried. Like if Kane can't make it, I'll try to at least throw something out to you guys to say hi. But yeah, something major like that. Yeah, neither one of us are producing something.
Yeah, you won't hear of us. We'll be like a ghost. We're ghosting for the fans. We won't. But we'll just be for one day. Like, hey, as Captain Mike says, life gets in the way.
And but, we are currently now, guys, over 300. We're almost at 400 on Facebook. So I want to thank everybody for joining.
Thank you so much. Like, seriously, I'm sorry, Captain Mike, didn't mean to butt in, but 385 subscribers. Like, good Lord. Did you ever think about that was going to happen?
No.
I thought we would get like 50, like our drunk friends, like, hey, they're good. Hey, they're those guys. But like almost 400. Thank you. Seriously. Thank you. Here's the sign. Yep. Thank you, inmates, for the likes and the shares and all that stuff. We do this for you guys. We do it for you to entertain you guys and just inform you guys. It's a personal passion of mine and Captain Mike's. So please, please like and subscribe, share, because 2020, we're here.
Yep,
we are here.
Big things coming. But yeah, so guys, yeah, definitely, again, thanks for the invite. And honestly, what my plan is I want us to start growing some more. So if you guys get out there, share that page, share the Facebook page, let everybody know about us, and we'll just continue to grow. And so you got anything else there, my friend?
Well, sir, as always, at Heroes Asylum on Instagram, The Heroes Asylum on Twitter and Instagram, and as always, from me to you and the crowd, get to the asylum.
See you guys. Have a good week.
This has been a Heroes Asylum production.